The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nathan Kahns of Carroll Broadcasting in Carroll, Iowa, and Ronald Swetka of the Kelowna News in Kelowna, Iowa. Nathan, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Sure. First thing we kind of want to look at is the Meatpacking Special Investigator Act. Would have been a couple weeks ago. Your team put out a press release with a lot of about it. You've repeatedly put your support behind livestock producers in the past, and you've kind of argued that the four largest companies control basically the vast majority of the meat industry anyway in terms of packing. So if you could describe the intent of this latest bill, you know, what it does, your thoughts on the chances of it getting passed up there in D.C. and so on.
Yeah, exactly the same as what we introduced last time. And so it didn't pass last year, but it has broad support. I'm not so sure about what it didn't get through the House of Representatives last year, but you'll have to check that out for sure.
Isn't that funny how you
but,
can?
It's a bipartisan bill that Tester and I are leading. Tester's the Democrat from Montana, and it would make sure that we have an independent voice within the Department of Agriculture to make sure that the Packers and Stockyards Act is being adequately enforced. And I think it also includes provisions for working closely with the Department of Justice if there needs to be action taken. Actually, I believe that the Packers and Stockyards Act is more beneficial to making sure that we have competition in farming and agriculture generally, or food production generally, than even the antitrust laws are. And so that's why, if it's not fully implemented, and I think Secretary Vilsack is making a good intention of fully implementing it, but we've had so much distrust with the Packers and Stockyards Act over both many Republican and Democrat administrations that Tester and I feel that this bill with the inspector would really strengthen it. That's the purpose of it. Your next question?
Well, and kind of related to that, there's also the Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act of 2023. I would say not tangentially related, but pretty darn close. Really, the point I'm making with that is the meat packing industry, the supply chain, has been really a focus for you. So it seems like you're attacking it from multiple fronts. Is it in hopes of just getting one of them through? Or are you hoping all of these pass? Where are you at with that?
Well, actually, I think the bill that you call the Fisher-Grassley bill, but it's also a Fisher-Grassley tester bill, that it's much more needed than even the inspector bill is. But in the final analysis, we just reintroduced this bill, and we hope that we have as much support or more support this time than last time. And you know, it got out of committee on a voice vote June. It was supposed to come up in July. By the way, I rely on Tester to communicate, since he's a Democrat, with Schumer to get it up. And right now, we have a situation where the Senate is only in session about 2.5 days a year, of a week. And when you're not in session 5 days a week, you're losing a day and a half to get important legislation passed. So let me explain that to you. We come in at 3 on Monday, don't do much more than just vote at 5:30 on Monday. We put in a full day Tuesday and Wednesday. Those could even be 12-hour days, but they still don't speak to a lot of opportunities to get big things done. And then generally go home before mid-afternoon on Thursday. So when you're only in session 2.5 days a week, you lose 1.5 days. Like when I first came to the Senate, Monday at 10 o'clock, working till 4 o'clock on Friday, we we just don't have the opportunity to get things done. And right now, we haven't done anything so far this year except nominations. No controversial legislation. And there's even a lot of non-controversial legislation, like, let's say, five bills that got out of Judiciary Committee 2 weeks ago to cut down on scheming by the pharmaceutical industry that would save the consumers a lot of money. We don't even seem to take up those non-controversial bills, or relatively non-controversial, if you get out of committee on a voice vote. So that's why we may have to try to work the cattle bill in with the farm bill if we have a chance of getting it passed. So that's my answer to your question.
I had a question. I keep hearing that the Democrats say that the Republicans are going to eliminate or cut back on Social Security. And at 81 years old, I'm kind of concerned about that.
He ought to be as concerned as anybody, 81 years old, but that isn't going to happen. In fact, just tell me how intellectually dishonest the president is when the week before the president's speech, State of the Union, McCarthy, Speaker of the House, went down to the White House and said, that stuff's not on the table at all, so forget about it. And then the president gives the State of the Union message and starts the whole argument again, just as if McCarthy didn't say what he said. So that's my answer to your question. It is not on the negotiating table. Now, on the other hand, let me say this, that we know what the situation is with both of those programs, and we shouldn't be waiting until 2033 to do something about Social Security, because the longer you wait, the tougher it is to make the decisions, and you hurt people more. But we do have a responsibility to not only keep Social Security and Medicare, but we have a responsibility to our children will be okay, but our great-grandchildren and grandchildren, because you have to look ahead 75 years. That's the way it's been ever since we've had these programs. The trustees look ahead 75 years, and we know that it's not going to be there for our children and grandchildren if we don't do something. I told you, Ron, you could have a second question because Nathan got in too.
Okay, I read in today's newspaper that Biden has given another $50 billion to Ukraine. How is he able to do that without congressional approval?
Congress has approved two times last year money, and the reason it looks like he's doing it without Congress approval, first of all, he can't spend any money that Congress doesn't appropriate, because we have the power of the purse in the Congress under the Constitution. So what looks like he's just making a decision willy-nilly to spend money when he announced yesterday X number of dollars for Ukraine, it comes out of what we've already appropriated. And in other words, if we appropriate several billions of dollars, it doesn't go there immediately. It's dished out slowly. Nathan, you'll have the last question.
So do want to touch a little bit on the train derailment from Ohio. A lot of Americans watching that. The community, in several communities that are in my listening area, have dozens of trains passing through per day. So a couple of questions really on that one. Why does it seem like the federal government doesn't seem to be taking that derailment as seriously as many Americans think they should? And then the second part of that is tying it into the infrastructure bill from like 18 months ago. And wasn't that bill kind of intended to address some of the issues like this moving forward?
Yeah. First of all, your position is exactly right. The people are upset about it. They ought to be upset about it. And the safety of the American people is the number one responsibility of the federal government. Now, you brought in the infrastructure bill. I believe that money is going to be spent out over a period of years, so just less than 12 months into that money being spent, whatever would be spent to make railroads safer probably couldn't be spent just like that, very quickly in 1 year. Just like you don't build the 23% of the bridges in Iowa that are unsafe. We got $300 and some million in Iowa to improve bridges. They can't all be rebuilt at one time. So that's one answer to your other question. The other answer is that the Department of Transportation under Pete Buttigieg has done very little until almost 2 weeks after the crash. FEMA was late getting in there. The president hasn't even talked about it as far as I know. And absent without leave is basically what the federal government's been until very recently. And in fact, I think the Norfolk Southern CEO was also way late getting and saying how he was going to pledge to make East Palestine whole. And so there's a lot of fault to go around, but the main fault is the federal government not doing anything about it and getting into the act too late. Thank you all very much for participating.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Nathan and Ronald, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.